The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is August 13th, I believe, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wan's Essentials. That's www.docspreferred.com. As you know, Dr. Wan is on the show monthly. We'd like to get him on a lot more. He's a pretty busy guy, but you never know. He's asked, and you know, if he wants to come on, he's always welcome to come on. Just to give everybody a little idea, we did a show a few weeks ago, and it's up on the, you go out to Motivation or Stitcher or iTunes, and we did a show on innate intelligence, and it was a smash, man. And we really, you know, Adam Glass is on with me today, and he and I got into a media show, you know, what was going on with people and this and that, and there's a lot of similarities, and then there was a little difference. And one of the things we got in is that innate intelligence that we all have, but you know, we've shut a lot of that off. We've got all this noise around us constantly and not even thinking and doing. And I'm not going to get into a big thing, but I got into the thing when we were talking about it. I was like, for anybody who wants to go away for a year, depending on everything that's going on here, I'd like to go find, remember Rocky IV, where the dirt floor with the weights and the anvils and the stones and all that. Granted, it was filmed in the U.S., but here's my point. I want to go out for 1 year, and I don't care where it is, and I just want to harden the living shit out of myself. That could happen next year. Well, the phone calls and the emails are flooding, and they're all like, I want to do that. I thought about doing that. One guy even called me, thought he had a log cabin in the woods where he could train people. So all I'm saying is there's an awful lot of people that want to get back to that. Don't buy into all the other shit.
Man, I'm thinking
so about to, you know, absolutely. Next, we got Sorenex Equipment, Richard and Bert. I want to thank them for the Diamond Bar. That's a obviously a trap bar, but the nice thing about it, you can put it in your power rack or press it above so you can load it to at least a grand, I'm sure. Go out to Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Next is for local, for New York State, Hearts Collision. Good friends of mine, Alex and Lori Verardi. CartsCollision.com, 518-477-7937. If you've been watching me, I'm training their 14-year-old son right now, Al. He's 6'1", but he's 145 pounds, and he gets his ass kicked all over the basketball court. I've had him 9 weeks. We got him up over 6 pounds. I'll get a reading on him this week. I've done it all with Strongman and a trap bar, but, man, come Saturday with a new stone here and the other stones, he's going to be a major stone lifter come Saturday. We're going to have a lot of fun. The kid is a pleasure to work with. And I got to tell you, he likes Strongman so much, he's already informed me he wants to go in a meet next year. So I'm not going to be training him this winter. He's going to be my training partner. So he's going to become one big Bubba. I want to get him up to about 190 this winter. We'll find him a spring show, and then we'll find him one local here. They will run one up. It's called Lake George. It's a resort. They usually run it in August, and I want to bring them up there, and this kid is going to crush. I can't wait. So go out to heartscollision.com. Next, Fiorello Barbell Co., the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's my free ebook. Just leave your email. You're going to get 10 paragraphs of thinking, of possibly taking something you love to do and be able to put it into action. This is what it's all about. No gloss, no chicks dripping with water, none of that shit. No gimmicks, man. Basic stuff that will help you get better and stronger. So go out there and get that. Next is the Winner's Circle. That's out of FiorelloBarbellCo.com. That's our big product. There's 12 modules there of me speaking vocally from 27 to 34 minutes. It starts from the beginnings of my stuff right through to my love of the power rack, sandbag domination, the return of iron boots, et cetera, et cetera. You can buy them singular. Or you can go with the whole thing. You get the price of 9 modules for 12. You can't beat it. Check it out. That's FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Next is our sponsorship. That's out of FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Click that. They'll take you out to the page for $300 a month, which is dirt cheap. We're trying to get off the ground, get people in. You can absolutely prosper here. I'm running 7 to 15 podcasts a week, and we talk about you in the beginning and the end. And sometimes with different things, we even bring you in. We're looking for anybody that's manly. You know, like with Alex, a body man, you'll see the hands and wrists on this guy. I believe your work forms who you are. We believe in all the hard hat people, slinging wrenches, and I don't care. You want to look nice, you got nice ties, you got nice outerwear, anything that you can construct a strong male with, that's what we're looking for. It doesn't have to be weightlifting. So go out there, click sponsorship. If you need anything done with branding, Chris can do that. That's obviously a bigger fee. And the guy that puts it all together is Chris Bigelow at monsterdevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. That was long, but we're getting bigger, and that's the way it is. Today, we got our good friend Adam Glass with us. And, you know, Adam is something, man. I mean, the guy's a world grip athlete. There's no doubt about it. World class all the way. I like him mainly because he does a lot of bizarre shit, but I love when he does the human flag, man. You got to see this guy. It's unbelievable. And, of course, you know, he's a strong man. I don't care how you put it. This guy is strong from top to bottom. And today, before I bring him in, we're going to talk about – here's a thing that's very interesting. Injury rehab. This is a big thing out there. We're going to get into some stuff that I've talked with other guests on the show, which I'm sure he's heard, but we're going to get into that. So, Adam, welcome to Motivation Muscle,
man,
my friend.
Thank you for having me back on. Glad to be here tonight.
It's great. It's a great thing to have you on. Give everybody a short bio, and we'll start right up with the show.
Hey, guys. My name's Adam Glass. I'm 32 years old. I live in Fort Worth, Texas. My background includes grip training, competition level from – getting together in people's backyards and garages all the way up to the main stage at the Arnold Classic in Columbus. I've competed in over 52 sanctioned strength contests over the years, which is, of course, not the most you've ever heard of. But I've been out there and I've been in front of a judge. And I know what it's like to have to pull the mind together to make the body work. I am a veteran of OIF. I was served with the United States Air Force 8.5 years as security forces, got out as an E6. Since then, I've been involved in the fitness industry, and my primary interest is helping people that are obese get to a healthy body weight and change their life so that they can escape the shackles of shame and poor health. So that's my mission, and I'm so glad to be on the show today to talk to you.
It's good to have you here, and man, you do a big service to people. We know we both train people with the weight, man, it's insane. And I tell you, you know, you walk around now, and I love being an observer. I mean, I can't believe how obese kids are now,
hey,
too.
And I want to jump on that, and I'm about to say something that, hey, you save your hate mail. You don't even send Eric a single hate mail when I say this, and you don't send it to me, okay? So here's the deal. If you're a man, I need you to tell me this. If a stranger kicked in the door and put a gun in your kid's face or your wife's face, what would you do? Right? What would you do? What would you be ready to do if that happened? And now tell me this. When you get home after hearing my voice, after hearing Eric's voice, I need you to look at your child and you look at your spouse. Are they overweight? Do you understand that if you are not taking action to help get control of this now, that you are doing the same thing as a stranger kicking in the door with a gun and putting it in their face? Because I'm working with families now, mothers that are in their early 30s. They've got a daughter or a son who's 14, 15, and he's already pre-diabetic.
Yep.
And we might as well just allow anybody to do whatever to him if that's the attitude we're going to take of, oh, well, it's in my genes. No, it's not. The problem is not that obesity runs in your family. The problem is that no one in your family runs.
Yep, exactly. You know something? we have a lazy mentality in this country now more so than ever. Everything's too damn convenient. Everything's right there for you. People don't even look at labels. They go and just buy anything. You know, what the hell? You know, I'll take care of it next year. It's like there is no next years, man. It's like live now because I'll tell you. And I know there's no guarantee. You know, I hear people say to me, you constantly put your body under such pressure all the time. You know, aren't you afraid of this, this, and this? I'm like this. I was like, well, if I go out, at least I went out with something I love doing, and I'm not some guy that's sitting on a couch eating a bag of Doritos watching television that means nothing, man. You know, everything's virtual, virtual girlfriends, virtual work, virtual life. That's not living, man.
Hey, and let's get it straight. Guys, of course Eric's going to get hurt picking up stones. They're stones.
Yep.
Of course.
Yep, I already have.
Bending steel. It's steel. Of course you're going to get hurt when you're going to get hurt. And we don't want you to get hurt. We are not advocating to go get hurt, but get that out of your head. Well, Eric, aren't you worried? No. Eric's going to die one day. He knows that. And before he dies, he's going to go to Iceland and pick up that damn stone.
You betcha.
It's that simple. Like some of y'all, the fears you have, you just got to get past it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get past it. But we are going to talk today about how to make that injury better when it does happen. And remember, we don't want you to get hurt. We want you to do things to not get hurt. But
what are you seeing right now, you know, in your experiences with injuries coming? I'll just give you a for instance quickly. A lot of the guys that own gyms are on the show, especially Gareth down in Texas too. He's finding, and I've heard this quite a bit, that obviously we know anybody can hang a trophy or a plaque or anything up and say, I'm a trainer. And a lot of these guys and gals just don't have the goodwill to do it right. And what he's finding with these parents bringing these younger kids in, and they could be anything from football players to women, little girls that are gymnasts, et cetera, that a lot of these guys feel because they're young, they can beat the shit out of them. And what the thing these kids are lacking is the maturity that have trained for, say, 20 years. And a lot of them are coming in injured, or they've had to have surgery, or they're totally dropped out, or they're mentally just destroyed. Do you see a lot of this, Adam, when you're dealing with this kind of with children and things of that nature?
I'm about to throw a word at you that's going to wrap this up so tight, okay?
Yep.
The folks that I'm seeing, when they first walk through that door, they have no grit.
Yeah.
They have no grit whatsoever. They grew up. I have a young man that I work with, and he has got a big heart, okay, and his family loves him very much. But this young man at age 15 has never pulled a rake across a backyard. Young man has never pushed a lawnmower. This young man has never took something apart and cut up his fingers trying to figure out how to put it. And it's just this young man has been deprived of being a young man. We have a generation of kids coming up right now. And look, this is not a game of blame, folks. But the reality is this. We have a generation of kids coming up that they might as well have been a pot in a plant. Right? Yeah. That's their ass on the couch. I see kids today who are teens and their spine is deformed, just deformed, so cathartic and rounded out from a lifetime. They may have only been alive for 15 years, but a lifetime of looking down into their lap at a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you now, I don't have kids, so I understand. I'm not allowed to talk about kids because I don't have kids. So here,
same here, man. Same here.
Who doesn't have kids? Parents of America, I think you're doing a shitty job. I think you could do better. I want to challenge you to do better. And guess what? The little argument of, well, wait till you have kids. Hey, how about you take care of your own kids and you don't worry about when I'm going to have mine. But if your kid is coming to see me because he's pre-diabetic, we have a problem, folks.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I go through a mall or go to a Walmart and I see a 12-year-old girl that's already over 190 pounds, because you have to understand that will be on her head every minute of her life. It's not like when you're a guy. Like, I was a little fat kid growing up because my parents didn't do a great job taking care of me either.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I discovered something, because when I turned age 13, I was taken to a bookstore and I was told I can get whatever book I want in the whole store. And Eric, do you know a book I got?
What'd you get?
Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia Bodybuilding, the yellow cover one.
There you go.
Right. Yep. I grew up looking at that thinking, you know what? I bet I can do something of that. And obviously, I'm no Arnold, but obviously, I learned some of the lesson that Arnold was trying to share too, right?
Absolutely.
How about this? If you got a niece or a nephew or a son or a daughter, go get them a basketball this year. Go get them a pair, you know, go get them a box of lifting chalk. And what's this? But we're going out to pick up some logs and stones. Do something with them. Don't get them another phone or another video game.
Well, you want, you're going to love this. You know, my brother-in-law is a semi-pro football player, and he's a high school. He's the head coach, you know, for the varsity football, and he coaches track and all that. He's a big guy, 6'3", 6'4". He's probably 280 still. You know, he's got five kids. The girls are very good athletes. My one niece is quite a long-distance runner. The littlest one, Maggie, she just turned 8, and she's a peanut. You ought to see this little girl get into a wrestler's bridge and do handstand push-ups. It's unfriggin' believable. I think she's double-jointed. I'm not sure, though. Unbelievable. Well, then my youngest nephew, Danny's 5. So they were all over here for a cookout this past Sunday. So, of course, we always end up, we're outside, and the gym's out there and all the rocks and everything else. So I say to Dan, because he'll always try to move stones or pick up little bricks, and he's going, look at what I'm, and it's great. So I pull the small car tire down that I lay my log on when I'm going to clean and press it. And I said, Danny, you want to learn how to flip a tire? And he's like, yeah. So I showed him, you know, rather than putting your arms straight under where it could blow your biceps, I taught him how to grab the tread to the side. Well, he flipped one pretty easy. I was like, well, don't stop. And he goes, well, what do I do? I said, let me show you. So I took the thing and kept flipping it, like, to the front end of my car. It probably was any more than maybe 10 feet, if that. By God, man, that little guy got under that thing, and he kept going. I kept making it. I said, run after it faster when you flip. He flipped that thing all the way to the front end of my car. I was so friggin' proud of him, man, and he loved it. So he's out there building spaceships with stones and shit, man. And it's like the coolest little thing, man, the creative end. But all the kids are out there doing something. You know, I don't let them really go in the garage because of all the heavy shit in there. But I'll bring stuff out to them and this and that. And, you know, you don't have to force kids, man. If they, you know, they see what I've done for years in the same way with their dad. So they've got a diet of that. What I do is just say, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And they'll be looking over. I said, you want to try it? And I've never had them say no to me. That's the way I feel, at least for me, it works, because I'll give you one other example. We'll get right into everything. When I, you know, they've got a big deck and all that, and they got a huge yard. So, you know, they'll have the whole family over, you know, both sides. And the kids will all be out in the yard, and somebody will be doing something. And this is no shit, Adam. I come through the back gate, someone's going to grab me right away. I don't even go up and sit down with the adults probably for an hour and a half at least, because we're either out there doing kickball or playing wiffle ball, or I'm setting up all these little track events with them. You know, maybe pick up a small stone, run for distance, come back, or carry something. They love it. And like Dan's father would say to me sometimes, why don't you come up and sit down with us, have a drink? I'm like, Frank, I'd love to, but you know something? Duty calls here, because I said these little kids are going to be grown up before I know it. And I'm going to lose that end of that in a lot of ways. But I said that the relationships I'm building with these children right now, we're going to have the rest of our life. And I want to be in their life, and I want them in my life to the day they plant my ass.
And look at that. You just answered the question of, okay, smart ass Adam, with your statement of all these problems, what do? You do what Eric's doing. You get in their lives and you make a difference. And you know what? Look, Eric, curious, man, did you go to some secret college that we don't all know about that teaches you how to lead a child, or did you just be a man and lead the child?
I just was a man and led the child, but you know something? I got this from my dad plenty of times, and when you're a kid, you're like, ugh. He used to always say to me, among many things, always be a leader, not a follower. And another thing that came from my mom's side with my grandmother, who to me is the matriarch, even though she lived almost 109 years old. She was a nurse in Plattsburgh till she was 79 years old. Small woman, tons of fire, man. And I learned this from her as a young boy. She was the kind of person, and I don't like people that do this, and I always swore I never would, whether I had kids or not. They might say hello to a child, but they kind of dismiss them. You know, it's like, okay, I got more important things to do. My grandmother was like the quintessential person that loved her grandchildren, man, that it didn't matter. You know, she would be a disciplinarian if she had to be, but the most of the time it was just spending time. She'd take us places because Plattsburgh was a small town. We'd go down and buy models, you know, put them together on her friggin' dining room table. We'd have her G.I. Joes hanging from her, like, clothesline and dropping them and letting them crash, anything like that. And I always swore, and I learned this from her, was this. She always found time for us, man. It was never a dismissal or any of that shit, man. And I said, when I get older, and whether I have kids or I have nieces and nephews, I will always do the same. And guess what? It's the same way, man. So you take some marvelous things from people, and you use them, and you try to help the younger kids, try to guide them a little bit, but guide them without them even knowing it. And that's kind of like how I do it with them.
Man, I love that, and that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yep.
So, hey, I want to cross over and get back into – let's go into another part back to that first question you said, what are we seeing? And now let's talk about the adults.
Okay.
So here are the major three areas that I see people getting into some problems with, all right? So I am currently seeing – let me just throw out a couple numbers for people – I currently see between 20 and 30 new people hit the floor each week right now.
Wow.
Between a lot of different things. Some of the people are coming in on trial members. Some of them are referral coming in with a friend. But what I am getting to see is I'm getting to see a large cut of the Texas population month to month. Large enough for me to see a couple things. Number one, we have, and this is men and women, a lot of people have a lot of problems with their wrist. They are never doing anything with their hands or the wrist. Then they come to a gym. Now, we run a fitness boot camp. And when I say boot camp, it is a, you know, boot camp has become very much its own kind of term for fitness. Don't get hung up on it, okay? But the thing is we do put them in a lot of things that they're looking for. They want to do mountain climbers. They want to do push-ups. They want to do bear crawls. And many of them, their first 3 months is almost agonizing because of how they've done nothing with their hands and their wrist. So I'm going to talk about the wrist today. The second area we see enormous problems is people have very, very tight hips. When you have very tight hips, the next thing that's going to move is your lower back and your knees. So guess what hurts all the time? Their lower back and knees. And I want to talk about that.
Okay.
And then the final area that we see problems with is you have so many people that are getting various muscular skeletal pains throughout their back.
Yeah.
And what do all these things have in common? We do a ton of the same thing and very little else, specifically sitting on our ass and not doing very much else.
And a lot of it, too, Adam, is just bending over working on computers all the time. Because I can tell you exactly, as strong as my spine and stuff was, sitting on your ass, no matter how many times you get up and stand, and you're always in a very tense position when you're typing. I don't care who you are. That really relates. I used to come home sometimes with, like, the back of my neck was friggin' felt like somebody whacked it with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Obviously, once I got out and trained and released all that tension. But when you're in that type of tension phase all the time, you know, we already know, and I know you're going to get into this, the damage alone sitting does to your buttocks. It literally will flatten your ass if you do it enough, and that's true. But go on. I'm not going to cut into what you're doing, but I just know from experience what that shit will do to you, man. I mean, you get curvature of the spine if you're doing that for 25 years, you know, because most of these people are sedentary people. I know. I was around them for years, man, and I'll tell you one other thing, too, and it's a sad thing, sad state of affairs. They might be nice people to a point, but they're miserable people, the majority of them. They're
incredibly unhappy. They're in a lot of pain.
Absolutely. Pain. And you know what it is? It's not only that. It's just like you hear them and they make big money and all this. They're very unhappy, obviously, like we just said. But they really don't like where they are. Most of them don't like their spouses. That's all you hear. or their kids are a pain in the ass to them. Well, here's the remedy for everything. Go out and get in fucking shape. Once you get in shape and you start getting a little bit of tea running through your body again, you're going to find out your attitude's going to change towards everything only for the better. But go ahead, Adam.
We can't jump over that, what you just said. I need every listener to hear my voice because Eric just said something that is so profound, okay? You don't like your wife. You don't like your job. You're disappointed in your kids. You found out that maybe you're a bit of a piece of shit and you feel a lot of shame, okay? Yeah. All these bad things. Your job's about to let you go. You're going to lose your house. You know what, though? Eric's right. The solution, and hear me, the logical, the reasonable solution is go get in shape, and this is why. Your body is the only thing you own, the only thing. You own nothing else. Everything else can be taken from you. Make no mistake. Ask anyone who's been in a divorce. Ask anyone who suffered a fire or a flood. You can lose everything, but your body is the only thing you have. So Eric is actually one of the most reasonable people I know when he makes that statement. Go out and get your ass in shape because it is going to start to change. It's going to change your bad attitude. It's going to give you hope. You will not make it without hope of something. You have to find something that you can dig in on. You must. You must. You must. You must. For so many of you, you are going through your day-to-day, and I know the truth, okay? You might, and you know what? You might go to church, and you might tell everyone that you believe in that, but you don't have hope. I need you to get back to hope. How do I know a man has hope? He's got something he's excited about.
Yes.
He's got something that he, here's my question. How many times are you hitting your snooze button?
Yep.
Your snooze button is the automatic measure of the quality of your life. Make no mistake. It's not your fancy house you do or don't have. It's not the car you do or don't have. How many times per month do you touch that snooze button?
Yep.
And don't kid yourself. If you're touching that snooze button, and I'm going to tell you this, if you're touching it even once a month, it makes me question your belief. It makes me question your passion and your dedication. And ultimately, it makes me question you.
Absolutely.
So that's so key. So let's talk about it. What if you are this guy or gal hearing my voice that your wrist is hurting you and your back is tight and your hips are tight? Here's step one. Step one is a phrase I'm going to share with you from a mentor of mine. I need you to get real with where you are not at. Mm-hmm. You are not, you're probably not in your 20s where you can just come in and kind of try things. You're probably way past that point. You're probably at the point where you have to start getting smart. Mm-hmm. All right. You probably need to ask more questions of people who are where you want to be, and a lot less of this, I'm going to try things. Eric, I can't tell you how much I hate that sentence.
I'm with you, dude.
I'm going to try. Well, you know what? If you're pre-diabetic right now, here's the problem. You haven't been trying to get diabetic. You've been doing the work to become diabetic. So if you want to get your way out of it, you can't try to get out. You must do the work to escape.
Yep.
You have to get your – and no one can do it for you. There is no doctor in this country that can do it for you. You have to do it for yourself.
What? Let me ask you this, I think I know the answer to the question. Why is everything so damn hard for everybody?
Because we've made it all so easy. Yep. We have made ourselves so pathetic. This is where we're at. Our ancestors would wake up in the morning with very little food and resources, and then they would go out and make them or find them or take them. They either made the resource, they found it, or they took it. Nowadays, you know, one of my favorite comedians, Eric, is a guy named Patton Oswalt.
Okay.
And I love Patton because, you know, a great comedian makes fun of himself and through that, you know, makes fun of other things. And Patton jokes around about he was in the store. He was trying to figure out which Lean Cuisine TV dinner he was going to buy. And he was looking at two of them in a store. He's got one in his left hand, one in his right. And the one in the left hand says, put it in the microwave for 5 minutes, pull the cover off, stir it up, and eat it. The second one in his right hand said, put it in the microwave for 2 minutes, then open the microwave, peel the lid back, and microwave for 2 more minutes. And he said, at that instant, I threw that one back in the freezer.
Yep.
And that's the thing is there was a time that we had to work together to find food. Nowadays, you don't have to work for anything that you currently have. Most people are in that spot where they've been used to getting, and they never learned how to fight the struggle, man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, and they may be getting their ass kicked by life, but they didn't. They never learned how to win. They never learned how to set a goal and follow through. Follow through is a huge one. I, as a coach, I work with a lot of men across the country, and the honest thing that I'm learning is that for most people, it's only a small percentage of things they say they want that they're actually willing to go after.
Exactly.
I've had people that have hired me, and I'll tell you what, make no mistake, I am not the cheapest coach on the block. That is for someone else to be. That is not my role. I am not the cheapest. I will ask for a large sum of money if I think that I need to have a lot of skin in the game. If I need a pound of flesh, I take a pound, and if I need more, I ask for more.
Absolutely.
And even though there are guys who have a medical emergency sitting in their lap, they just gave me a chunk of their money. They still will not stop touching that snooze button. They still come home and plant their ass in front of the TV. And it makes me worried, Eric, because I don't really know what the future looks like for a lot of people. I know what my future looks like.
Right.
I know what my family's future will look like. Man, I don't know about all these people who don't know how to work.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think if things keep going with the teenage generation now, I think we're going to revert. The only thing that's going to save them is the way science and medicine is, but to a point. They'll keep them alive with drugs. But my impression is this. I think you're going to go back to a whole different time here, and you're going to start seeing people dropping dead at 40 again. I mean, we know there's a lot of stuff going on right now.
We are seeing it, and we all are ignoring it, but it's happening. You're exactly right.
Yep. There's something here. I mean, this has something to do because we're always talking about manliness and stuff. And I just want to bring this up, and I know that we got to get into all the other stuff. But we're on this fine line with, you know, be a fucking man and stand up for yourself. Stand up for your family. When we did that show with Dr. Wong, all the stuff, Frank DeMeo, who's a good friend of the show and a great guy down in the cave in Sarasota, sent me a note how much he liked the show and everything. And there's a book out, and I don't know if you ever heard of this author, but it was incredible. Matthew P. Mayo, he wrote a book. He's wrote a lot of books. It's all about men going, doing marvelous things. It's called Cowboys, Mountain Men, and Grizzly Bears. For anybody out there, I'm almost halfway through the book. They're all short stories about men going out and hunting grizzlies, and grizzlies chasing them chasing them off a cliff with seven shots through them, you know, Indians scalping white men when they go in and they're trying to hunt beaver. Just great, great manly stories you could read to your kid. And this all goes with what Adam and I are talking about today. It's this breakdown in males especially. And we've gone into this in other shows too. We know a lot of the reasons why things are the way they are. But, you know, the days of wearing the pink fucking shirts and saying I can't do it anymore because I got to spend time for my family. As far as I'm concerned, you can go fuck yourself if that's the way you want to live. And when you go and see a gentleman like Adam, or you come to me and you say, my back hurts, my neck hurts, my ankles hurt, my friggin' wrists hurt. You know what, dude? I'll help you out. You're going to pay dearly for it, but these are lifestyle changes. This isn't coming to Adam. Right. This isn't coming to you or me and saying, well, how long do you take? What do you think? Well, let's look at a year, and if we can do it in less than a year, we'll do it. But this is a lifestyle change. You don't go back to hitting the snooze bar. You don't go back to sitting around on your fat ass. And you definitely, if you have, it doesn't matter, daughters or sons, by God, man, you don't want these kids all blowing up and not being able to move, and especially your wife. If this insults you, it insults you. Any guy that's with any woman, whether you're married, and you have a responsibility yourself, too, to look good. By God, man, don't let kids be the reason why, well, I ballooned up 40 pounds and I can't come down. That's bullshit, man. If I'm with a woman, no matter how much I love her, I want my wife or my girlfriend to be in shape, man. I want to look at something that I love and be proud of. And when I'm out with her, when she's the only thing out there that I even look at, I don't care who comes by, all right? I want to tell everybody, this is my wife or my girlfriend. Doesn't she look great? That's important, man. You're never going to be able to have a control. And people say, oh, looks don't matter. Bullshit, they don't matter, man. They do matter.
They matter a lot. To most women, their appearance is the most important thing on their mind. It's not the most important thing in their life, but it is on their mind continuously. And I'll tell you this, guys. You want to make your woman happy this year? Don't go buy another piece of jewelry. Don't go buy another dress. Get her a membership at a boot camp that trains women. Don't take her to your commercial gym. The reason she doesn't go with you, she doesn't like it. Get her in a scenario where she's with other women that are empowered and show her, and you'll see a change in your family. You'll see a change in your entire household. And that's a fact. And for women, if we have any ladies that are listening to the show and, for, you know, maybe it's your man who's not on board. I'm going to turn out, you know, there's a lot of advantages to these gym setups that have really returned to the hardcore nature. You know, as a big picture, for example, the CrossFit movement has done more good than many other gym chains have even attempted. I saw a post on Facebook today that was shared by Mr. Tony Blauer, who's a world-class leader and teacher of combatives trying to save lives. And Greg Glassman has taken a stance against Coca-Cola. I need you guys to see that Coke is a multi-billion-dollar company. How many of you have actually spoke out on a platform where someone could hear you against a billion-dollar company? And Greg's saying, Coca-Cola, you're wrong. It's the sugar in your beverage that is making America weak.
Yeah.
Okay? It's the sugar in this beverage that you insist is in every school in America. Because Coca-Cola has an agenda. They want your child drinking their drink. They want your child drinking. And remember, guys, hey, I'm not anti-soda or some kind of thing like that. What I am is I am anti-anything that degrades the quality of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, when a company has an agenda to get you on something that is addictive.
Mm-hmm.
No mistake, sugar is addictive.
Yep.
And it is not empowering you in your life, okay? Most of the time, if you see someone drinking a Coca-Cola, it doesn't look like on the commercial. They don't have a big smile on their face. You know, it just doesn't look that way. So,
well, here's what I don't like either, Adam, because I'm not a big guy with government subsidies. You know, they're getting... Here it is, and I love capitalism totally. But once again, you know, their buddies are giving them taxpayer money. Now, a multi-billion-dollar company doesn't need our tax money, okay, to build or anything. But see, everybody's held everybody hostage now, and we can get into that another time. But what with all the injuries you're seeing, is it easy to get these people back in the game? I mean, I'm sure you got to work hard mentally with them, but are you finding, you know, a lot of your clients, you get them back, get them active, and make lifestyle change?
Yes, I do. And everything we've talked about on this call, I'm about to pull together in a nice, tight package.
Okay.
So here we go, guys. If you're in pain, step one, I need you to get clear with what it is that – where does it hurt? When does it hurt? What is it that you're doing? Because most likely – you may say, well, I don't know why it bothers me, but you do know. It bothers you at a particular time. All right. Now, you know, start off and start documenting things. Put a pen to paper. So that's just the first step of figuring out where are we is to figure out where are we, right? So start looking. Well, okay, I'm noticing my neck hurts every day around 3 p.m. Well, let's look at everything that's happening from noon to 3. So step one, let's start taking details on and writing them down. Step two, I'm going to go right to your diet. I'm going to go to your diet first because your diet is where the majority of errors are being made. And it's just like I talked about with the sugar. Are you ingesting tons of foods that are promoting inflammation in your body? Because if you are, that inflammation is working double against you. Your body's already inflamed from an injury or a pain situation, and then you're piling the other inflammatory agents upon it. So here's how I want you to do. I'm going to give you an action step that'll change your life, guys. Step one, every day when you wake up in the morning, I want you to take your phone which you know, really, you don't even need your phone in the morning, but a lot of you, you're probably looking at it when you wake up. We'll get to that in another call. I want you to wake up, and I want you to take a photograph of the top of your hand. Put your hand flat on a table, take a photo. Now, if you start doing this every day, you're going to notice, depending on what you've been up to, what you've been putting in your body and what you've been doing with your body, your hand will be more puffy or more vascular. Mm-hmm. The more that we're moving towards vascular, the more we're doing to combat inflammation. This serves as a marker. So, hey, last night we had beer and pizza. I noticed my hands and feet are puffy today. That's a powerful indication that what we did last night wasn't so great for us. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be step one. Can we clean up our diet, use a cell phone with the photos to easily track it? And here's the best part, guys. Your hands and feet are going to get puffy if you're inflamed. It's not like that your rotator cuff is going to be all swole up, but everything else will be good to go. When one thing is impacted, it's all impacted because everything touches.
Right.
Our next step is you need to keep your body moving. And remember, guys, I am not a doctor. All right. Eric's not a doctor. But then again, we're not against your doctor. We're not trying to put, you know, be at odds. So here's the deal. Speak with your doctor, communicate with your doctor, and tell your doctor what you're going to do. I'll tell you right now, when Eric hurt himself last year, he didn't go to the doctor and say, well, I've decided I'm never going to try to pick up anything heavy again. He did the exact opposite, right, Eric? You told your doctor, I'm going to lift these stones. And your doctor gave you better advice once he understood where you were going. Your doctor, guys, is going to try to talk you out of anything you're going to do because as a professional, it's to his advantage to be an advocate against risk. But that doesn't mean he's against helping you get back in the game. So you need to be in communication with your doctor. You need to tell your doctor what you're doing, and you need to be honest with him. All right? Step number three, you probably need to change what you're doing for a period of time. So, for example, and Eric, I'm going to pick on you again.
Okay.
After your shoulder was hurt, you didn't go back out to the garage and keep trying to do the same thing. You didn't get yourself pepped up to go hurt yourself again. You did some things that you knew were not your favorite, but you knew it would get you back on top.
Yep.
You went into training those missing angles, those missing motions. You got back in at some of those little small motions and small muscles. And you invested. You invested your time. Okay, I'm gonna get. I know I need to get more strength right here in this one little spot. So even though the only thing I want to do is pick up that stone, I'm gonna sit here with this dumbbell and do another set of soup cans.
Yep. Yep.
And guys, that's all part of the deal. Like when we talk about you have to pay your way. Well, sometimes pay your way means do the little things. In 2012, I was. I was only a couple months away from the Arnold. I did really great in San Jose. I was very happy for where I was at. I was gearing up for the Arnold, and I had busted a ligament in my right wrist. And as a grip athlete, that's like a double no-no. And I had 3 weeks that I could not twist the top off of a water bottle. And that's the same hand that can tear apart license plates and phone books and decks of cards in seconds. So you know what I did?
Going
up to the gym, and I didn't squeeze with that right hand. I got into squatting because you know what? Squatting you can do even if your wrist is a little jacked up.
Yep.
And I did whatever pulls I could, and I did whatever presses I could, and I just stayed hopeful that my body would do what the body always does. It would get better, and it did. And that's the message I really needed to bring to you guys is that if you're hurt, don't stop, but don't keep doing the same thing.
Use
that melon. You need it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. One thing about an injury, which, you know, it is a pain in the ass, and this thing now feels like it's almost there. We'll be able to test it with a smaller Hoosa steel stone this weekend we built. You know, I pulled 375 on Sunday night. I attended on training last night, but I didn't realize I had a late podcast at 6:30. Then we had a lot of Skype issues. I didn't get off the air till 8:30 last night. So I was like, nope, it's been a long day. I've got, you know, some podcasts today, and, you know, I've been eating well. I got up at 5:30 this morning just to do that, read my books. But, you know, you got to be very patient with these injuries at times, too. And I am not a man that is overly patient at times, especially when you have something hanging over your head you've been talking about. You want to get back to Iceland. Well, right now I'm 14 weeks behind. That's a lot of weeks to behind to get to a place like that and lift that stone, you know, finally get around the goat pen or the sheep pen, you know. But that's neither here nor there. What I found with this thing was I did have to dance around it, like Adam said. There were areas I felt that I could work, strengthen, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, over the last five workouts, obviously things are getting better. You know, the arm is becoming a lot more flexible. I can now put my arm behind my back, and I can grab the buffalo bar and dead stop squat. You feel a little bit of tightness initially, but it dissipates very quickly. And I'm always cognizant of it. I'm not being a candy ass about it, but you know something? You don't want to tear anything out there because that'll be it for me. I'll have to get more stuff done to that left side. But the thing I have to tell everybody out there, you're going to have to learn the art of patience. But if you learn the art of patience, you can get real creative. When you get real creative, you might end up even creating a product that's going to go out and help all of us guys and gals. So nothing is ever lost there. And I got to tell you, the other night when I lifted that stone and I squatted dead stop from 12 pin, I blew 527 off, and I haven't done that in quite a while, and I manhandled it, right? Here's what I'm going to tell you, and you'll know this. I'm sure Adam can tell you this. You get this shit-eating grin on your face, and you're like, you're ecstatic. And even though that's not anywhere near my best, it was my best for that night. It felt so friggin' good, man, because you know what it felt like? It felt like somebody broke the fucking shackles right off.
Yeah,
me.
Man.
Like, yep. You know what I mean? It was like, dude, I was like, I'm back, man. Maybe not 100% yet, but now I can start doing stuff. Now I can do the things I want. And you know something? Tonight we're going to go out. I haven't done any barbell bent rows, and I can't tell you how long. I'm going to throw the car tires on it, give me a little bit more height because I want to see what I've got when I pull. That should go well, and I'm going to take 60%, 70% of 375 in the power rack with the stone, and I'm going to lift that probably for five triples, and we'll gauge yourself now, and obviously I'll do my grip work with the stones outside, digging my fingers through them with the small sledgehammers to the tire, do some neck work. I'll be inside. Hopefully I'm done in 45 minutes, and we'll get ready to start with a new stone this weekend, and who knows the potential. See, this is a thing that I tell everybody, work things slow. If you got to go and get massage, if there's certain supplements you got to take, if you got to go and do acupuncture, you know, as long as you've had it checked, it's not ripped, but most doctors won't operate unless you really want it. They stay away from that. The point of the matter is the realm of possibilities after you fix this stuff could push you over the edge to do even greater things. So don't
That's
get down.
A great point to Eric. Hey, will you write a note down for me?
Yeah, absolutely. Shoot.
I would love to hear over the coming interviews, because you have so many remarkable men that are coming through. And a great question. Just, hey, Adam Glass wants to know, will you share a time that you overcame an injury to come back better than before? Because I promise you this, every one of these remarkable men will share a story of exactly that.
Okay. I'll ask them all. I'll ask Rob Regish today. That'll be the first one. I'll ask David Whitley, too.
I know Dave's got one. So, hey, guys, side note, Dave and I are doing a workshop in Nashville this weekend. So you'll hear the buzz about that coming down the way. But if you are in Nashville area, you need to get out and see David Whitley. Dave is on something. He's out there changing people's lives, getting right in their life, one life at a time, the right way. And if you're in that part of the nation, you got to go see him.
Well, you're going to like this. We got talking about, you know, he was a musician, obviously, before, you know, and we got talking about our metal bands, and, you know, he and I are big fans of Pantera, and we talked about one of the drinks they used to always have was Canadian Club. Was it Canadian Club? Oh, shoot. What is it? I think it is Canadian Club. It's the one that comes in that velvet pouch. I think that's what it is. And they'd mix Pepsi with it, and they called it a black tooth grin. And we got laughing our ass about it. And, like, when I got done with the show, I said, yeah, remember the black tooth grin, you know? And it was funny because you know, I was talking about with the show how it's just exploding and we're getting great people, and I love doing this stuff, you know, and, you know, like you can hear the passion in our voices, man. It's like we really give a shit about people, and, you know, and you got to make a living with it too, and that's cool. But, you know, I said, you know, we're Legion. He goes, yeah, you guys are, he goes, we are the Legion of Boom. You know what I mean? And I get the deal. Boom is exactly what we are. It's like when you hear us coming, man, it sounds like the Hulk walking through the fucking woods, dude. All you hear is those big boom, boom like that. That's what we are, man. You know, and it's just like, you know, to be able to come back from these injuries, to be able to get better, to be able to take, you know, and this is where I go big time, Adam, with this. You know, I think I told you, or we talked about it before. You know, I trained with my brother and my best buddy, Joey, for years. And, you know, Joey's family, man, he would be just like he is, a blood brother. And when I started doing a lot of the dead stop stuff and I was getting a lot more distant from what we used to do, and these guys were good lifters, heavy lifters, all that stuff, it put a wedge. And I wasn't going anymore to what they were doing. I was bored with it. I didn't know if I was going to stay in it at that point. By then, I had been doing it probably 10 years. And we drove such a wedge where we parted very badly, and we didn't talk for 10 years, man. And that was bad. And I had to start all over, and that's where I am now in the garage, and basically started with a York power rack, 1,000 pounds of York plates, and a York Olympic bar. And when you see the pictures, when the video comes up, or I'll have to send you some, you would flip. You're like, how the fuck does that guy get any more in there, right? Here's the best of it. It was a bad thing that happened, but it was the best thing that happened to me too. And I'll tell you why. Because when you train alone, you find out who you really are. And not everybody can do that, because not everybody – exactly. Not everybody's got that makeup in them to be able to do that. A lot of people need people to rah-rah them and all that. Well, I've always been a guy that could train alone. I've always been a guy that could go out alone. Always been a guy that could meet people anywhere and talk with them, whether I knew them or not, because the face card was always like, do you lift? And it's like, that's how people try to make contact with you. You can say yes or no or whatever you want to do. So that was always kind of like the card to come into everything. But I'll tell you this, you know, besides my brother Jimmy dying of muscular dystrophy, and the whole business is dedicated to him, and obviously the job loss, I wouldn't be here talking to anybody if it wasn't for going out on my own, because I got very creative. I had to learn how to have stuff built because I was alone. And the power rack to this day is still my best friend, because I don't have spotters. I don't like somebody on each side of the bar.
Spotter that can compete with a power rack, unless you're lifting up like Derek Poundstone or something.
Right.
You know? Exactly. And Eric, you said something very profound again. I just want to point that out.
Sure.
You guys, the reason that Eric can train alone and he can say that, and the reason that I train alone, is because we think if you just tell yourself, I can train on myself by myself, you can. And,
yeah.
And that's the problem, boys. If you're telling yourself, well, I mean, that's great for you guys, but I have fucking whatever problem you have, you're right. You have that problem. But guess what? You can still train alone. Now here's what. You might not be able to do the heavy stuff, okay?
Yep.
Then, but don't like, here's the deal, guys. If you don't have a rack, don't do heavy back squats. But here's what you can do. Look up a Steinborn squat. Okay? Before men needed maxi pads to get themselves in a gym to squat, or even back squat racks, there were men back squatting big weights.
Yes.
Milo Steinborn was said to be able to do sets of 10 with 550.
Absolutely.
Now, I'll tell you this. I don't even care what the depth was he was hitting, because he got into position by rolling it on his back, which means the first rep started from the bottom. So what do I think the rest of them looked like?
They were great, I'm sure. And you look at guys like J.C. Heiss, man. I mean, you know, that's where the Heiss shrug came out of. He'd go and lift, and, you know, he worked in coal mines all day. He'd be lifting in a shithole, traveling all over the world. These guys were phenomenal people. You know why they were? Is they had the guts to train alone, and they knew the concepts of training. Maybe they weren't as sophisticated as all these PhDs and all these fuckers with shingles hanging all over the place. But these guys, like I think us especially, I think they're very instinctive. And when you're instinctive and you can think things through, you might not get it all the first time, but man, maybe 3 months, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a year, maybe 10 years. I've done it a million times. I'm like, why didn't I think of that before? And suddenly it dawned on me. I was like, guess what? I just figured a new way to do it. I can go in there and I can just crush it now. But you know what? That's all of what it's about. All the stuff is preliminary, which leads to the big, big show there where, you know, nothing feels better. Let me tell you, when I hit that over 500 there, when I dead stopped that, you know, and I'll be honest with you, people say, yeah, you're full of shit. It wasn't heavy. You got to realize something. I was that power that was in me that could not be exerted the way it usually was. It's like, you know, think about the Hulk with the green gamma in him. That shit's in your veins all the time until somebody brings it out of you. Well, finally, I was able to put that arm back. Finally, I was able to align my body to come up like a friggin' rubber band, like snap up. And thirdly, whatever it is, I had the mindset again. I had this hunger, this volume in me. It was like, Eric, we can't do this anymore. You're going to have to put up or shut up. You feel good. You're going to have to maybe take a little bit of tightness or something back there, but you know you can get through it, and we are going to put our will down on it. We're going to stamp you down. You're not going to stamp me down. Well, I can tell you this. If things keep going the way they're going, wait to see the footage of me with stones. And I'm going to show everybody everything I do, whether it's 10 feet with a barrel, stripping it down and going 50 feet home with 235, or we're going 25 feet down, loading that thing to 350 and going, you know, 55 feet down to the next barrel. Or it's going to come down to where I'll show you all the stuff I've built for the power rack to pull that stone at any angle you want, how to slip boards in and out, how to go outside of the garage and hang it from tow chains and pull it everywhere. I've got a plethora of stuff in here and equipment I built, whether you want to do it or not, that will make your head literally spin off your shoulders. And I'll tell you right now, and Adam will tell you too, strongman, I believe, when executed properly, and you can do this at any weight with any athlete. I've proved it with Alex out there. To me, carrying a stone out in front of you, I wish I knew this 20 years ago. I think I would have been a hell of a lot better athlete. I think carrying will make you a beast. And I mean one of the strongest individuals you've ever walked into. I'm going to prove it with this kid if he's going to see it through next year for these meets. You wait and see what you're going to see this kid look like and the strength he's going to exhibit. But I'll tell you the best thing of all, and then I'll send it right back to you, sir. I have done things to him mentally that I'm sure Adam does it, and I'm sure like a guy like David Whitley, I'm sure Rob, all these guys, Gareth, all, you know, Bill, all of them. You educate the student mentally. Now, I gave this son, this boy Think and Grow Rich, and I said, I want you to memorize this book because it played a big part in my life when I was in college. I still have that book. The binding's broken on it. Pages are hanging out of it. I will never part with that book because of what I felt it did in my life. I'm doing the same things with him. I always tell him, like my dad said, be a leader, not a follower. Don't be afraid to put your hand up. Don't be afraid to be the first one to speak. Don't let people tell you you can't do anything. And most of all, what I have him doing now, because I'm teaching him how to speak, he's going to be on the show in 2 weeks, is this. I make him explain to his dad and me every exercise he does, how many reps he does, and why he does it, and what body part it affects. I think to do that to a young man or a young woman is giving them, that's like, to me, giving them a bucket of gold, because no matter what he does with physical culture down the road, this kid is going to be a force in anything he does. What do you think about that, sir?
I love it. All right, guys, I would compare it to this. If you were going to teach me auto mechanics, okay, one of the first things you'd probably do is you'd lift the hood and say, hey, you see this dummy? This is the battery. That's the alternator. This right here is the fuel injection lines. Hey, come on over here. Let me show you the tools. This is a wrench, and it's different than this socket wrench, and it's different than this crescent. You know what I mean? You're going to show me These are the parts that you need to make this thing work. And that's exactly what you're talking about. And that's a great point. If you don't know what to do, you get started by learning the pieces, guys. Do you know what the muscle groups of the body are? If not, talk to someone like me or Eric. There are people that are dying to show you that. Do you know the tools? Does it make sense to you when you go to a gym and you're looking at a cable station why there's 80 different handles? You know what I mean? When you're in front of a barbell, guys, do you understand why some of the bars are longer than others? Do you understand why some of the bars are thicker than others? And hey, we will teach you. But make no mistake, there are tools to this game. There are principles to it. And if somebody does what Eric is doing here with this young man, if they show you, all right, it'll change your life. So I want you to prioritize that.
Absolutely. You know? And you know something, when we're talking about injuries, you're going to limit your injuries. Look, at you and I both know, anybody that's training heavy, 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 you're going to get injuries. That's part of the game. But the whole thing is learn to rise above from it. You know it's hard as hell. Look, I've had them, Adam's had them, and you know when you're competitive and you're hungry, it's really hard to have to take a backseat to shit and have to dance around stuff. But take it from me, and Adam, I'm sure, will agree with this, and he can tell you. This is the way it is. If you listen to what I said in the last 5 minutes, you're going to come out better. But if you're going to quit, and people do, you were never in it anyways, all right? And you can make every excuse under the sun. Well, I didn't like what Adam showed me. I didn't like what Eric did with me. You know, I don't think they were fair. You know what, man? It's all fucking excuses, because I'm going to tell you right now, if you come to me, and I'm sure with Adam too, I'm going to give you everything I got. And I give people probably too much, all right? I got to sit down, think of how I'm going to set up your schedule for today. What if things don't agree with you? How are we going to go in and tweak this and change it? How am I going to keep you positive and flowing? Interested. That's a big thing. Interested. And how am I going to pique your interest to be the best you can be in whatever you choose to do? That's, to me, the essence of a trainer. That, to me, is the essence of keeping my big thing. I say this to them all the time. My job is to keep you safe. That's my job. I take that extremely serious. And when I tell you I want $100 an hour and you laugh at me and say, well, I can get it done for $25, you can go fuck yourself. Go find your $25 an hour. And I guarantee you, your kid will get nothing.
Oh, especially for parents, if you're taking your kid to a trainer who's the bargain in town, man, well, you're going to find out that old saying that you get what you pay for.
You got it,
because there's a lot of knuckleheads in this industry. But there's a great wisdom in this too that I want you guys to ponder, okay? When someone comes to see me and we sit down, I do not accept usually the first two goals they throw out. So the first thing most people, well, I want to tone up. That's crap. You can take that back because it ain't going to stick to my walls. I don't do a little bit of tone up. Well, I want to lose a few pounds. No, you don't. No, you don't. I'll tell you right now, if you're a guy, I'm going to give you a simple goal to shoot for. I understand some of you are not going to go the distance on this, but let's be real. If you are between the ages of 25 and 55, I'm going to wager that you grew up looking at people like John Wayne, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, let's face it. Your vision of where health and strength and fitness takes you really pulls you in that direction. And you know what? It's actually a pretty great goal.
Yes.
It really is. You know, I saw a picture of Sylvester the other day. He's like 70-something years old. If he's not a living testimony to what the power of fitness will do to your life, I don't know who is. I don't know if you guys know this. He actually had to sell his dog to get the money to do his first movie script that he directed and starred in.
Yep. He said that was the worst. He said that was the worst thing he ever did in his life, man. He said, I think he paid triple to get that dog back because the guy didn't want to sell him at first. And anybody that doesn't know, that's Butkus in the first Rocky. That was his dog. To me, Adam, this is how I look at it. There's no sport that's going to allow you to train well into your 80s, 90s, or if you make 100, in my opinion. You can like all these other sports. I really don't give a shit about much sports anymore. I don't like how it looks, how it works, and I'm not into the commercialization of everything and all these bullshit stories they try to lay out. I like lifting. I like stones. I like steel bending. I like all this rugged. I like, you know, I like some MMA. I like arm wrestling. I like the sports where you make contact like that. But most of all, I like the idea of the solitariness of it, because I think men are solitary creatures in a lot of ways. And we need, you know, I'll tell you what. If you know me, you know, if you and I were around each other, there's some days, you know, you're just not feeling it. You know what I mean? And I've always been a guy like this, and especially with girlfriends and stuff, because I run into this a lot. It's like, I'm not going to be Mr. Everything every day. And that's something you're going to have to address or live with. You know, it's nothing against you or anybody. But I've always learned this. If you know somebody and you know them well enough where you can tell they're not feeling it, I do two things. I'll say, is there anything I can do for you today? No, I'm all right. Okay. And then secondly, you know what I do? The best thing of all, I leave them the hell alone, man. Because when you press people constantly and you press an athlete that, let's face it, Adam, we've got a lot of aggression rolling around us. I don't give a shit what anybody says, man. And you try to live a somewhat normal life where you show your respect, you show your honor, you show your love for the people you care about, and even people you don't know, you try to be decent to. But my big thing has always been this: if you push me or press me, you could open up like a big can of something, you know what I mean? And I think that's very important for people to understand with people, because I think in today's world especially, there's just too many goddamn pushy people out there, man, or they're in your face. Or they believe all that MTV shit where they're all karate experts and they hit somebody 15 times and they get back up. I got news for you. If you've ever been in a real fight and you know how to fight and the other person does, you get a fucking pop that you can't sustain, chances are you could get your ass knocked out or killed. All right? So the reality of everything, I think, with everything we've talked about here today is this. I'll leave my end with this and I'll let Adam take over to and we'll finish up, is this. If someone's not feeling it and you're doing the right thing and asking if they could help you out and they still don't want it, leave them the hell alone and let them just complete their day. Because I guarantee you, they'll be out of that within a day or two and they'll be right back to the way they are. And if you got issues with it, then you got to talk it out. But otherwise, I think sometimes you just need to let be. And I'll go to you, sir.
Man, I'll tell you, in closing today, when I think about everything we've talked about, The big one that I really want people to embrace, all right, is we keep coming back to really a singular idea, and we have it in all of our conversations, and that's why we keep talking, all right? Guys, it's the idea of personal responsibility. Stop blaming other people. You know what I mean? Let's look, don't blame yourself. I'm serious. Stop blaming. Don't blame yourself. Don't blame others. Get away from the blame and the shame. And instead, let's get back to solutions. What do you want your life to look like? Let's do that. What do you want your family's life to be like? Let's do that. You know, what do you want this year, 2015? We're 8 months in. This year is almost done. What have you accomplished this year? And if you don't like the answer, then let's set a goal right now with resolve and with grit that next year will be different. All right. And here's the last thing I'll say. There's a statement that I want to purge from everyone's vocabulary. Y'all need to get away from this. We'll see what happens. Holy crap, I hate that. It's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. The default setting of reality is nothing happens. If you put a rock on the ground and no one's around it, the rock is going to be there when you come back.
Absolutely.
We'll see what happens is nothing will happen. And that's what your life will be like. If you sit around with the attitude, well, we'll see what happens. Nothing will happen. So it is in your hands. You are the master of your own fate. It doesn't matter if you like that or not. The data suggests that's the fact.
Exactly. You got everything?
That's it, man. That's where I'm at today. I feel excellent about this call.
All right. Why don't you give all your information out? I'll give mine out. And if you could just hang on the line for a minute, we'll talk offline, please.
Yes, sir. Well, guys, I'm available in Fort Worth, Texas. You can contact me directly at adamtglass00@gmail.com. If you are hurting and you want help, the book I'm going to point out to you, it's a very quick read. It's about 90 pages of material with another 50 pages of supporting data. The book is called Pain Prescription. It was actually written by my coach, Frankie Ferris. It's available to you at areuthemovement.com. That's areuthemovement.com. areuthemovement.com. Pain Prescription will help you out, guys, and it brings in a lot of things we're talking about today. And, you know, besides that, I know what the rest of the year looks like, and for me it's going to be a period of running around, man. I will probably be in a city near you, so hit me up. And if you guys want to talk, give me a call. If you guys want to chat, give me a call, and we'll see if I'm of any use to you.
You got anything coming up near upstate New York or not?
You know, I'll tell you what, the solution seems that we just need to set something up. I think that would be a better fix.
Awesome, man.
Coming this year, let's see, I have right now that's on the docket, David Whitley in Nashville, Tennessee this weekend, Dennis Rogers in Houston next month.
Wow.
I'll be out to Summer Strong 9 to present in the Carolinas on behalf of Mr. Richard Soren.
Yep. Is that they're going to have it? They just had, was it that? Did they do 8 or 9 this year? What was it?
It was 8 this year, 9 is next summer.
Well, I'm going to try to get there too, so I might get to meet you for sure.
Oh,
because
hey, we just got to walk around all weekend to interview people. You know that?
Oh, I love it, dude. But you know the deal with everything right now. So everything is kind of up in the air. This is what I've been offered too. You know, if we can't get to Iceland by the end of the year, which is a dangerous thing to go then, but I don't really care. If I'm ready to go, I'm leaving. You know, providing we have the currency to turn everything. But I had a couple people suggest that they might want to go, and I said, well, if I want to go, we're going to go in May like I did in 8. We'll go the second week. But I'm just going to go there. I got two choices, Adam. I can go and do a lot of the tour I would like to do in Iceland. I'd like to get back and really avenge that stone that ripped my goddamn arm off. That would be in Latra. And that's the 396th last stone that did the paper shear on me. I really like to get back there because I never got to lift the Judas stone and the 600-pound column stone where you just have to lift it shortly off and stand with it. But I'd like to go to Húsafell first, and we'd have to go around the mountain. It's probably about a 6-hour drive to get to Latra, but that would be a thought. But then again, I said, look it. If I'm that close to Scotland, you know, and I know Andrew Carney, who's been on the show, lives there, why not go to Scotland and lift the Dinnies and the Inver? But he's lifted, I think, the 6 stones there, like the Stone of Fiona and all that. You know, maybe I could do the whole trek. But, you know, with the business and everything, it's going to be a chore. But I can just imagine the people I could interview. Can you imagine it's Scotland? I know I can go to Magnus's gym and get them, especially if I've got him on in September. It's unreal. That would have to be at least a 2-week trek to do. I couldn't do that in a week.
I'll tell you, man, it sounds like you need to figure out a way to just get there for like 4 weeks. And that, you can do the travel, and now you're getting accustomed. You're going to get out and meet people. Because here's the thing. When you go to Iceland, when you step into Paul's gym, you want to be able to go that day. You don't want to go and be like, well, I've got to pick up this damn stone tomorrow, so I can't. No, man, go where you have enough time to have every life experience. Because let's face it, how many times is a boy from New York going to get out to Iceland, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I've been there twice. I'd like to do it this year. We'll see what happens. But in the meantime, now I'm back training, you know, not 100, but I'm getting close. But if I got it, I can go back there next year. But you know something? I'm attracted to Iceland so much, I think I've told you. There's a good possibility I might end up living there the rest of my life. I love it that much. So it'd be nice to live near Húsafell. I could go there every day and lift my prize stone. I don't know. We'll see. But I don't even remember. We got off. Did you get everything out that you wanted to talk about, or didn't we hit that yet?
Say, I feel great about today, and I look forward to our next talk, and we'll delve into other areas of this whole game.
Hell yeah. All right, well, I'll give it my info and just hang on. So this is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by DrPrefer.com. That's Dr. William Wong. Go out and check out his stuff. He's sponsoring me for Iceland. I thank him. He's a regular on the show once a month. We also have, this is for the New York area, Hearts Collision, heartscollision.com, 518-477-7937. Alex built me this. This is the third stone he's built. I can't say how much I appreciate his help. He's been very generous to me in a lot of other ways, too. Great guy, great family, and I'd do anything for his son. He wants to do the strong man. He's going to become a force, I'm telling you right now. If there's anything I do in this world and leave it, I'm going to leave him one hell of a strong kid. Next, we got Soren X. I once again thank Richard and Bert, who are both regulars on here. Bert's on every month. His father comes on every few months. SorenX.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Go out to Fiorella Barbell Co., download our free ebook, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Simple, simplistic, authentic. Go out and do it. 10 paragraphs, just like Adam and I talked about. You're going to get that in written form. Go out and take a chance on yourself. You're worth it. So go out and check that out. Obviously, the winner's circle is just about ready to go. We're just waiting to load all the film on the site. You're going to get to see my one-car garage loaded, a lot of the custom equipment that we've built, one-offs that we're going to start building to sell, the outside where you'll see where you can take the Hoosa steel stone, load it to logging chains. You're going to see the special apparatus I built to do one-arm presses with any size dumbbell. And the reason why I did this is I felt when you grab that Husafell stone, it can go forward on you. The pec insertions get slammed. You don't want to tear a pec when you're pulling that stone because it is one big bubba, believe me. So go out to Fiorella Barbell Co., check out the winner's circle. 12 modules, all recorded, 27 to 34 minutes. We also have all the free video out there, intensity training series. Go out and check that out. Obviously, sponsorship, $300 a month. Come on, let's get on board. We're going to help you promote your brand. You can help us promote our brand. We want to get out there to over a million people. I mean that. We're going to do this. We are going to be the show that everyone's going to want to listen to. There will be other genres of stuff, but we're going to be the guy and gal that's going to want to come on, and we want everybody in. We welcome you all into our family. So go out to Fiorella Barbell Co., click sponsorship, and give us a shot, and we'll definitely give you a big shot. The guy that would be doing all that is Chris Bigelow, monsterdevelopment.com, 800-687-1609, FiorellaBarbellCo.com, motivationmuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star, please. That's all we've gotten. We thank everybody for that. Facebook, Fiorella Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, Twitter, at Fiorello Eric. If you'd like anything, you like Adam and I do a show together, something different, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. And I'll leave you with these three things. Number one, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, don't be afraid to give them your time. That's where your real strength comes from, man, inside. All that stuff you built came from internally. Think about that. Secondly, my mom always said to us as kids, don't be afraid to say hello or give a smile to somebody. That might be all they get that day. Think about that and look around you in the world today. It's more prevalent now than when she told us when we were little kids. And then thirdly, go out and crush some friggin' stones, turn them into powder. And like me, go out and lift some big iron. I can't wait to get out there tonight, man. 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I will be wrecking the walls out in FBC. And last but not least, we are domination. We are going to be over a million strong of listeners. Tell everybody you know. Let's get out there and let's keep spreading this great word. Adam, once again, man, another smoking show, dude. Thank you for being on.
Man, thank you for having me.
Anytime. I love having you on. For Adam Glass, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to thank everybody for listening. Keep the charge going. Don't be afraid to be manly. But most of all, man, take care of your wife, your sons and daughters, your girlfriend, whatever. Stand up straight and be a man. And I'll leave you with that. Have a great week, and we'll talk to Adam next month. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.